Well, good everybody. My name is Dan Harding. I'm from Meriden Community Church, and I'm really glad to be here with you guys today online. Thanks for spending time with me. I'm glad that we can spend time together. I'm from Meriden Community Church, and we are kind of like Good Life family in a way, which is great because we're talking about family today. And how we might sit in the family is almost like the 17-year-old who moved out of home really early and you only see him at special events. That's kind of us. We're down at Caloundra. We love you guys and love to spend time together as often as we can. As we talk about the core tenet of Good Life and the core tenet of Christianity, family, the scripture that comes to mind for me straight away is Psalm 68, verse 6. It says this, God places the lonely in families. That's a part of the Bible that I really engaged with as a young man and understood that God actually has a plan for me and the people around me to put us together as family. And I love that scripture because it also ties into what I heard Stephen say at the beginning of his series about the Hebrew word for family, mishpacha. Now I've got down what I saw that he said a few weeks ago. He said, quoting Dave Adamson, family is not just the people you are related to, but the people you are joined together with in community. And this is a perfect explanation of what I think God's saying in Psalm 68. There's a broader definition of family than we often have, and God wants us to explore what that might look like. For some people, actually, this broader definition of family in community is the best version of, or the only version of family that they ever experience. You might know that saying, they're like family to me. That's us experiencing what God's talking about. It could be your teammates, classmates, neighbors, workmates, whatever it might be, and you're saying these people are not, you know, I'm not rejecting my family, but these people are like my family. The reality is, especially the last 2 years of COVID, that not all of us are experiencing community like we'd like to, and not all of us are even able to connect in the way that God's talking about here. And what I want to look at today is one simple barrier to experiencing this kind of community that we might have and those around us might also have. Now, one of the key barriers, I think, is that our culture, myself and so many people I know, are actually have a misplaced obsession with connection. One of the barriers to communion, I think, is actually an obsession with connection. What do I mean by that? Well, how many people do you follow, subscribe to, have signed up to, have liked, or have connected to online? So many people. Now, I've got a brand new phone, I've got an IT background, we have video church every single week, so I'm not against the digital. But when we sign up and follow and like and get connected to people, we feel like this should meet our desire for community. However, I think what connection is actually more about just simply access to people and not actually the deeper part of relationship with people. Connection is really just starting off with access. Now, I follow a whole bunch of people on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all the things that you do as well. And I get to now know what some of the people that I read about when I was a little boy do every day of their life, whether it's bodyboarders, surfers, footballers, or whatever. The people I read stories about as a teenager, now I know what they do. I know where they live. In a sense, I'm connected to them. I have access to them. And the simple way to experience this is if you kind of go out for dinner, breakfast, coffee, and you sit down, maybe you even go out on a train trip, go on a bus trip somewhere, and you're with a group of people, maybe five or six people, and you're there, and everybody can be looking around, or can be sitting around or standing around. And it can sometimes be that every single person in that little space is looking down like this, looking down at their screen. What are they looking at? Probably they're looking at people that they want to connect to, people they have access to. They're trying to connect with others. What's happening though, as they're connecting with other people, they're losing the opportunity for community with the people around them. The people that we're connecting to are often far beyond us, even overseas or in different spheres or seasons of life. And sometimes we get obsessed with connecting with them at the expense of the people, the community who is immediately around us. As people, we are often desperate for connection with people out there, but forgetting that God has actually designed us for community with people right here. What I want to look at today is how we can take our lives that are rich with connections to people and how we can build a life based around community with people. I want to look at a few simple scriptures that talk about how God has designed us for a particular way of doing community. And one word that I think sums up God's design for community is a very simple and short word, which we've already read today, and I've already said, it's the word with. The word with sums up, I think, God's design for community. Now, if you're a Bible person, you might know some of the scriptures I'm about to talk about. If not, I'm just going to mention them, and they might come up on the screen. You can go and read them later. But in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1, it starts off talking about Jesus, introducing us to Jesus. And it says this. It says, in the beginning was the Word, that's Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. We hear about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity. It's a Christian theological term. And the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit weren't just connected to each other, but they were doing community with each other right from the beginning. And we know this is how they were designed because this is how they designed creation. If you go back to the very beginning of the Bible, back to Genesis, we see the story of Adam and Eve, and we read through an unfortunate series of events, we find out that it seems like every day at the end of the day, in the cool of the day, God would come looking for Adam and Eve to go for a walk with them. He said, I want to walk with you guys every day. That's how I've designed you guys to be with me. Before Jesus came onto the scene, like hundreds of years before in the book of Isaiah, and then again it's repeated in the Gospel of Matthew, it says this name of Jesus, the name we sing about at Christmas, it says, Jesus, he will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. In other words, Jesus came to earth to express God's desire to be with us. Jesus actually lived this out. Now, there's too many stories to mention, but when Jesus was living with his followers, with his friends, with his family, we read that Jesus ate with, prayed with, traveled with, did everything with his friends, with his followers. He wasn't hard to connect to. He was pursuing a community life with other people. And we know this not just from reading a few of the stories of Jesus, but when Jesus died and rose again, went to heaven, what did his followers do? Well, one of the first things they started doing was hanging out together. They did the very thing Jesus did with them. They started hanging out with each other all the time. We read in Acts chapter 2, verses 36 to 47, the story of their practices, how they lived out their faith, how they followed Jesus together. They met in the temple to worship together. They met together for meals. They met together for what we call communion or the Lord's Supper, which was the meal that Jesus taught them to have together. And unlike many of us, and I include myself, we kind of think that if we could get together with other Christians maybe once a week, that'd be good. And that is good. And that's what we're doing today, whether you're online or in person. But these guys were so passionate about doing life with each other, like they'd learned from Jesus, that it seems like they were almost with each other every day, praying in the morning, sharing a meal at some point in the day, or reconnecting in the evening. This is how they lived. One of the reasons that I think they did that is not just because Jesus taught them to, not just because it's good for them, not just because it's good for us, but that they were practicing for something that they knew God had designed them for beyond the here and now. See, we read at the end of the Bible in the book of Revelation, which some people think is a bit of a scary book, and you know, it's got a few surprises in there, no doubt. But at the end of Revelation, it talks about the life to come. It talks about what heaven's going to be like. And it talks about us being together again with God, like we were designed right back at the beginning of time. It says this in verse 21. It says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. This is John describing what he's seeing in heaven. And he says, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. In other words, what we're experiencing today together, some of the most beautiful parts of life when we're with those we love and with those that love God, is just practice for what life's going to be like forever in heaven. It's a beautiful picture to think about it that way. And it speaks to the fact that while we are desperate to connect to other people, God, in His wisdom from the beginning of time, has designed us to live in community with other people and with Him. That's His plan for us. That's His design. So you might ask, okay, that sounds great. Lots of scriptures there. You sound very sure of yourself, Dan. That's awesome. But how do I do that? Like, do I just, you know, try my best, call up an old friend? What do I do? Well, if you are thinking, how do I become the kind of person who does life with community? There's actually a symbol. There's actually a picture that goes right throughout the Bible in many different stories. And it's a picture and a symbol that's at the very end in heaven. And it's this picture here. It's the idea of a table. In Matthew chapter 8, Jesus himself talks about what heaven's going to be like. And he's trying to give us, me humans, an idea of what this amazing place called heaven is going to be like. And he says, it's going to be like you're sitting down at a table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, if you've never read the Bible, it's basically, you know, the heroes of this part of the Bible, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the people of faith who came through the hard times, who came through the good times, who had all sorts of struggles and held on to their faith in God. It's like heaven is spending time with people like that in the presence of God all together. And you might think, why would he talk about tables? That's not really that exciting. Well, as I thought about it this last couple of weeks, I thought, actually, a lot of community actually does happen around tables. Jesus probably really knew what he was talking about if he was the master storyteller and if God knew how we were designed. My mind went back to my first date with my wife, Martine. Now, I knew who she was. I knew who she lived with, my friends. I knew her name. I got to know what she looked like and a few of her interests because I was mates with her mates. I got her phone number. I kept calling and she never called me back. And I thought, what am I going to do? I want to be with this girl. I want to think maybe we could be together. And so after all my efforts to connect with her, I had a plan come across my path and I was at a party, which we were both at together. And I had to walk up to her and old fashioned, just ask her out on a date. Face to face, no phones, no messaging, nothing like that. And I said, hey, will you come and have dinner with me? Let's get to know each other. And she said, I'd love to. And I was so excited. What did I have planned for our date? A small table. We came and sat down and spent time with each other. And from that moment on, our relationship grew as we spent time in community together and now have created a little community called the family in our home here in Caloundra. A lot of the great things in life happen around a table. I've got 6 children, 1 on the way. I know that's crazy, right? It's not normal, but that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. And it's hard to stay connected. I'm just like, I'm sure anyone who's got a family or has got flatmates, it's hard to stay connected with what's going on, but you can just keep up here and there. But my desire is not to stay connected with what's happening in my sons and daughters' life. I want to be in community with them. And so what do? At least once a day, we try and gather around our table. Now, our kids are young, so it's easier. But we want to have and live in community with them. You know, if you want to connect more with your workmates, it's probably a place you all have lunch, a room somewhere, and it's probably a table somewhere. And if you want to spend time with them, instead of sitting down in the corner with your screen of connection to people beyond you, you might sit down and go, I want to get to know this man or woman. And you sit down and you go to community with them by hearing their story. I already talked about the Lord's table, communion that we have in this church and so many others for the last 2,000 years. And Jesus saw fit to say that really 2 rituals he left for us, baptism and communion, he saw the second one to be around a table. Why? Because he knows how much we love to be in community around a table. It could be drinks after work, coffee with a friend on the weekend, brunch on a Sunday morning, and they all involve a table. If God places lonely people in families, if that's what he says, not just that he does that, but he wants to do that. He wants to bring everybody into community with others. I've got a simple, challenging question for all of us. If God wants to put lonely people in families, then who's at your table? Do you have a table where there's space for somebody else? Do you have people that you've invited into your work, social life, friendships, own home, church table? Have you got people at your table that is an expression of God's belief about the power of family? It could be a neighbor that you know you've got a connection to. You always do this, hey, you know, or as you're driving into your garage doors or you're watering the garden or mowing on the weekends every now and then, you have a connection to them. I have a lot of those. And it is so hard to step into what God designed us for, which is community with. It's a backyard barbecue. It's a coffee, a late night drink, or a weekend get together. But it's a stepping into something that you're designed for. It's the stepping into the call of God for all of us. It could be a workmate that you've never actually had a conversation with. It could be a friend that you've stayed connected to online for a long time. And maybe today God's saying, hey, I want you to move beyond the connection with them. And in the last 10 years, you know they need to come into community with you. God might even right now be bringing a name or a face to your mind. Who are you connected to that you can grow community with? When you're willing to ask that question and to step out, you are stepping into God's design, not just for all of us, but God's design to use you to impact the lives of those around us. I want to close, before we go to some worship, with really asking you to take a moment to reflect, maybe right now, or maybe during the next worship song, who can you invite to your table? Why don't we pray? God, I thank you that you have a heart for families. I thank you that you have a heart for the lonely and the isolated. And I thank you that you have a design for us to include them at our table. Holy Spirit, would you bring right now to our minds and our hearts the pictures, the faces, the names of people that you want us to invite to live in community with us, people you want us to sit at our table. Thank you for your heart for us. Thank you for your love for the idea of family. And may you help us be gracious with each other as we seek to live this out. Amen.